It sure is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, amen. Oh, I'm glad I'm leaving out of here one day. This world's not my home. I'm just a stranger and a pilgrim. One night on an altar, amen, in South Georgia, Jesus met with this old sinner, and I became a resident and a citizen of another country. My residency may be on 1755 Benroe McClendon Road in Lyons, Georgia, about 10 hours south of here, but that's not where I'm going to stay yet, amen. They may put my body down there, but I'm going to be leaving out. I sure am glad for it. I just want to tell the church it is a privilege to be here this morning. I want to tell you thank you. Many of you don't know me, and I don't know many of you, but I want to tell you from the bottom of our heart how much we appreciate you letting me and my family stay over here in the missions quarters. It sure has been a blessing. I was able to stay there when I came by myself and preached a youth meeting down the road back in March, and now with my whole family. And it's really nice to be able to stay somewhere like that, and I appreciate you providing that for people just like us. Passing through, it really was a blessing. And I have my wife here with me this morning. She sits on the back row, and that's not because she's backslid, amen. That's just because we've got four little ones, and the oldest one's five. And she kind of has to be close to the nursery in case they start calling for mama. She's got to head that way. So I'm glad to have them here with me this morning. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 147 this morning. I want to try and mind the Lord and be obedient to the Holy Ghost. And I believe this is what the Lord would have us to give you this morning. Lord burned my heart about this some time ago. And I believe he wants me to give it to you this morning. Psalm chapter 147. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The psalmist said, praise you the Lord. For it is good to sing praises unto our God. It's pleasant and praise is comely. I wonder when's the last time you've just been by yourself before and you've just opened your mouth wide to heaven and let out a song. You say, well, I can't sing. Well, that weren't the criteria. In Psalm 150, the criteria is if you've got breath. And if you don't this morning, please raise your hand. We'll call 911. Amen. I believe we all qualify this morning to do a little bit of that right there. Every once in a while, it's just comely to get by ourselves somewhere and just praise the Lord a little while. Sing a good song to Him. Even if you can't carry a tune in the bucket, it sounds good to God. Verse 2, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. Now I like this. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. That's all we are this morning. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Aren't you glad? Verse number 4 be our text this morning. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Dear God, we beseech your presence this morning. God, we sure do need you. Lord, vain is the help of man. Vain is my own power, and vain is my own strength. God, I'm just dust, stammering feeble lips of clay. I sure do need a fresh anointing, a fresh filling this morning to give to God's people what you've given to this preacher. We pray if there be one in our midst, lost and undone without you, that you might draw them, Lord, with cords of love. God, woo them, we pray this morning. Show them how good you are and how wonderful your sweet grace is. And save them by the grace of God this morning. We'll thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I got to looking at stars here the other day. I got to notice in the Bible said the Lord numbers the stars and he tells them all by their names. And I got to thinking about this. I got to thinking and looking in the different portions of Scripture. The Bible likens the stars to the saints of God. The Bible says over in the book of Daniel, he says this about the saints of God in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Can I say by way of introduction, I see the shining of the stars. We see the shining of the stars. This morning, the purpose of stars in the heaven is just to bring glory to their God. It is simply to sit up in the heaven as a representative and say that God is all powerful. And there is a supreme creator that sits on the throne. And their job simply is to shine in that night sky and reveal to this world that God is still alive and He still rules and reigns. Can I say this morning, as the children of God, we are the stars of the living God. Our job this morning is nothing less but just to shine. God has set us up on a hill. He set a city set on a hill. Can't be hid. Our job is to shine as lights, dear friend. Our job is to show a lost and dying world that the Lord still lives. He still rules. And He still reigns in the affairs and cares of the hearts and lives of men, women, boys, and girls. This morning our job is to show forth out of a clean conversation and a clean life that God has done something for us, that God has moved in our life, and we just want to show off His glory, if you will. We not only see the shining of the stars, but we see the staying of the stars in the Scripture. The Bible said in the book of Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 15 that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Can I say what God's looking for this morning? He's just looking for a few staying stars. He's not necessarily looking for shooting stars. He's looking for somebody that'll just anchor down. And even though the times change, even though we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and dear neighbor, we are there today. I mean, brother, it doesn't take long to look at the headlines of the newspapers, to read down through the columns there, to turn on the news, and you'll find out quickly we are in the midst of a crooked. Brother, look at here. You look at Washington, they're so crooked, brother. More crooked than the dog's hind leg. You could drop them down in a barrel full of fish hooks and not one of them would get caught. Praise God. They're so crooked, my friend. That's where we're living at today. And we're in a perverse nation, but He said our job is to shine as lights. We're to just be steady in season and out of season, regardless how the world may change, regardless how the fads may change, regardless how the times may change. Our job is just to stay. I'll never forget, as a child, Brother Randy, I used to sit out there. We would call it stargazing. I don't know if y'all ever done that up here in Kentucky, but we'd sit out yonder in that flat land in South Georgia, and Mom and Daddy'd take us boys out there, and we'd lay out on the grass in that yard we used to have out in the country, away from all the lights of the city, and we'd just look up on a clear night, and we'd call it stargazing. And I'll never forget, we'd see some of those shooting stars, and man, how it caught our eye, and how neat it was to see one of those stars flash across the sky, but it lasted for just a very short time and it was gone. But I'll never forget, Daddy always used to show me, Brother Randy, he'd show me where the Big Dipper was. He'd show me Orion's Belt. He'd show me those different constellations. And to this day, when I walk out on my front porch as a grown man with my own family, I'm not looking for shooting stars. The first thing I do when I walk out, I'll look up yonder on a clear night, and I'll pick out Orion's Belt, and I'll pick out the Big Dipper. You know what I'm looking at? The same thing I was looking at 20 years ago. Them stars ain't moved. Them stars ain't changed. They're right still in the same spot they was years and years before. What God's looking for is just some saints of God that'll be staying stars, regardless how the world shifts, regardless how the world moves. He's looking for some saints that'll anchor down at the house of God and say, come what may, I shall not be moved. The Bible said, Lord's looking for some trees up planted by the rivers of waters. God ain't looking for potted plants that can be picked up and moved. God's looking for planted plants, trees that are anchored down by the river of the Word of God and the Holy Ghost that'll anchor in and stay the test of time. I see many gray heads across our congregation this morning. I was talking to this dear brother here this morning, said he'd been coming to this church since 1981. Do you know what it does for a young preacher and Christian like myself to see some staying stars that ain't turned tail and run, but you're still in your place, still serving the Lord, still doing your job. That tells me I can make it. That tells me even though you've been through heartache, even though you've been through pain, even though you've been through toil, we can make it in this thing and shine, boy, shine. We not only see the shining of the stars and the staying of the stars, but in our passage that we began with, we see the sovereign hand in the stars. There is a sovereign hand when you look in the stars. When you look in the lives of the children of God, Brother Madison, there is a sovereign hand. There's an unseen hand that works behind the scenes that mortal man knows nothing of. And even though they can't see it with the natural eye, to the people of God, there is a sovereign hand that reaches from the glory world and does something and did something for us couldn't nobody else do. I want to preach on this thought this morning. I'm a star. I'm a star. I may not be a Broadway star. I may not be a Hollywood star. My name may never be on that sidewalk where them stars' names are that people walk on and take pictures of. But this morning, in the eyes of the dear Savior of glory, I'm a star this morning. I may not be a star to you. I may not be a star to the world. I may not be a star to the president. But when the Lord looks at me, I'm a star. Matter of fact, I'm a superstar in His eyes. I mean, brother, He loves me. He counts us by name. Numbers us all. I wonder if you're a star this morning. I'm glad I'm a star. I ain't a football star. I ain't a baseball star. I ain't a basketball star. I ain't a car racing star. I'm a child of God star. I'm a star, brother, that got started because Jesus breathed into my nostrils the breath of the good grace of God and saved my soul. I want to show you several things about the stars this morning as it relates to the children of God. I say, number one, I want to show you the nativity of the stars. The nativity of the stars. The word nativity simply means this. It means birth, or it means a birth with a reference to a place or an attendant circumstances behind the birth. Can I tell you, way on back yonder, brother, before man was ever planted in the Garden of Eden, we had a God, praise the Lord, that stepped out on nothing and made everything that is. He spoke it all into existence. And as He stepped out on yonder, the Bible said He made two great lights, one to rule the day and one to rule the night. That's the sun and the moon. Then it says this, and He made the stars also. Almost if it was a small chore for our God, He made the stars also. I'd like to see a scientist make a star. I mean, it didn't even devote a whole verse to it. It just said, He made the stars also. I mean, I see way on back yonder, before anybody ever happened on this earth, the Lord put some stars out yonder. It come from His own mind. Nobody give Him the thought. Nobody gave Him the idea. Nobody told Him how to put those burning gases together and form them and make them shine right on and right on. I was reading something just this morning. Scientists say that stars can last anywhere from 10 billion years. And I thought, well, praise God. That just tells me they last forever then, because they weren't no great big bang way on back yonder somewhere 10 billion years ago. The way this thing got started off is in the beginning, God. That's the way it got started off. And it's about 6,000 years ago when He said all that and put it all here. I'm here to tell you, brother, I see the nativity of them stars. God put them out yonder. God spoke them into existence. Can I tell you tonight, we as the stars of the living God, stars the children of God, I see we've got a nativity.
Can I tell you about our birth this morning? Our birth wasn't by the will of man, nor by the will of the flesh, but it was by the will of God. Can I tell you this morning, I didn't get saved because I just chose one day, well, I think it'd be a good idea. I got saved because God brought me to the end of myself, showed me I was lost. I was dead in trespassing sins. I couldn't shine on my own. All the good graces that I tried to do earned me no favor, earned me no merit, earned me no righteousness. You listen good this morning. Some of you out yonder, you've been trying to get a good case of the do-betters. I think that'll help you out. You've been trying to reform, try to turn over a new leaf. You think that's going to help you shine. I mean, look at here. You're tired of your dark life. You're tired of living in darkness. So you say, well, I'm going to give this up, and I'm going to give that up, and I'm going to change a little bit of this. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to join the church. But that don't give you light, dear friend. A light starts when you realize that you're in darkness and you have no light and you're lost and on your way to hell. And God births you into His family. The Bible said, marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again. Or you can't skate around this nativity. The nativity, it also said, is a birth with reference to the attendant of the circumstances behind it. I can tell you some of the circumstances behind the night that I got attended to by the God of glory. I mean, lost as an 18-year-old boy sitting on a church pew, and he got to wooing me and drawing my soul to an old-fashioned altar. I slid in down over here about beyond behind the piano, and I cried out for God to have mercy on a sorry sinner like I was. You say, what happened? I become a star. I'm a star this morning. They tell me back in the days of the Great Depression, there was a Superior Court judge that was sitting on the bench at that time in New York City. His name was LaGuardia. LaGuardia was hearing cases all throughout that day, and they happened to bring a fella in. He was a poor man. They brought him in and brought him right down the front, and he had just tattered looking clothes, old worn clothes, and said, what's the charge? And they said, well, sir, this man was caught stealing bread downtown. He said, sir, do you know that the fine for stealing bread is $10? And if you can't pay the fine, it's 30 days in jail. How do you plead? He said, your honor, I'm guilty. He said, I'll just be honest with you. If I'd have had the money, I wouldn't stole the bread. I was just trying to feed my family the best way I knew how. Times are tough and I'm broke and it's a depression going on, and I'm guilty, your honor. That's all I can say. And he hung his head, and LaGuardia slammed the gavel down. It's a true story. And as the bailiff come walking to where he was to escort him out of the courtroom for 30 days in jail, LaGuardia had mercy on him, and his heart went out to the man. He said, stop just a minute, bailiff. LaGuardia pulled his robe off that he sat behind the bench with, set it down, walked down from around the bench. He pulled $10 out of his own pocket and he paid the man's fine. He walked back up in behind the court bench and he sued the courtroom $50 for living in a town where a man had to steal bread to feed his family. Then he took up a collection of $47.50. That fellow walked out of that courtroom free as a bird with $97.50 in his pocket. Can I tell you, dear friend, I'll never forget the day when I was lost, condemned, doomed, damned, but the King of Glory said, I'll pay his fine, I'll pay his debt, I'll give my life for him, I'll give the ultimate price so that he might be a star. I see the nativity of the stars. I'm glad I've got me a nativity this morning. I hear all kind of crazy nativities, Brother Randy. I hear folks say, well, I was trying to quit smoking. Now it's God to help me. And that's when I got right. Well, I was laying in my bed one night and I seen Jesus show up at the foot of my bed and said it was all going to be all right and I was going to get out of this hospital bed and go back home. And that's when it happened. No, you ate too much pizza before you went to bed, and that's what happened to you. Or you smoking some of them left-handed cigarettes, and you seen something you shouldn't have saw. Some folks said, well, I was praying for Granny, praying God would heal Granny. He said, it's all going to be all right. Granny got up. I told God if he'd heal Granny, I'd serve him. And he healed Granny, and so here I am. That ain't a nativity at all. How would you look at a person that said this about their real birth? If they said this, brother, they said, well, one day I hatched out of an egg in a barnyard, and here I am. You'd look at him like, you need to be committed. You need to be committed, dear friend. Because I know nativities don't happen that way. You see, there's only one way birth can happen. Don't happen any other way. It don't get here any other way. You see, we was just the other day at that science museum that y'all got down there in Louisville. That's a real nice place. They got a room there you can walk in and look at as the baby fetuses grow from a small embryo right on up to 8 months. You can look at how God's hand is in that thing. And babies just don't come but by one way, friend. Them stars up yonder, they had their nativity one way. I mean, brother, look at here. Darwin and old scientists couldn't figure out how they got here, but I know how they got here. And you don't get here but by one way spiritually. You don't get to that land he was singing about this morning, but by one way. You got to be born again. You got to have a new birth. You got to have God regene you and make you a new creature in Christ. You got to come to the end of yourself, see yourself as a lost sinner that deserves hell and beg God, save me. We see the nativity of the stars. Can I not only say we not only see the nativity of the stars, but we see the numbering of the stars. The Bible said in our passage, he telleth the number of the stars. This is an amazing thing, and I'm sure some of you know this. Did you know there are billions of stars inside of each and every galaxy? Billions. There are billions of stars in our galaxy. And did you know scientists have said there are billions of galaxies out yonder? And in every galaxy there are billions of stars. And if there are billions of galaxies and a billion stars at least in each galaxy, and the Lord knows all their numbers. Not one he doesn't know about. Not one he don't care about. Not one that he's forgot about and said, you know what, I forgot about that one way out back yonder, out past Alpha Draconis and way on back out there and farthest part of the universe that nobody's ever seen. I forgot I had a whole cluster of stars out there. He ain't never forgot about not one of them. He knows where each one of them. You say, how does he know where they are? Because he put them all where they're at. He's the one set them down right where they are. I'm glad the Bible said in Nahum chapter 1 verse 7, the Bible said the Lord's a shield unto them that put their trust in him, and he knoweth them that put their trust in him. This morning I'm glad he knows who I am. I'm in the number this morning. I'm one of the chosen few this morning. When the record is called on high and the roll is called up yonder, I'm in that number. You ain't got to worry about this old boy. I'm not numbered down right amongst that crowd, brother. He said this. He calls his sheep and he knows every last one of them. Me and my wife the other day, we walk around that science fair and going here, there, and yonder. We got four children. Like I say, they're 5, 4, 2, and 11 months. You say, you're crazy. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I say the same thing. But we'll walk around that thing and they'll try. You know how kids are. They want to run. They see something, they want to run to it. They see something else, they want to run to it. They're just going everywhere. When they get legs under them, they're dangerous, man. You need one of them body harnesses. You can snatch them back, hold them like you got a leash on a dog or something. I mean, they're going all over the place. Some of you looking at me crazy. You must not be a parent, praise God. If you're a parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We carry a blessed God wooden spoon around with us because we have to dish out regular, praise God, disciplinary action throughout the day. Do it on the fly, amen. And what we'll do, this is what we've been, we just walking through there the other day and Tristan said, you count four? You count four? And I get to look and say, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, there's all four of them. We go in another room, she say, you count four? You count four? Make sure they're all there. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4. There they are. If we had any more, I'd have to take my shoes off. But thank God, we only had four, so that way I can count them on my hands. Yes, sir. There's 1, 2, 3, 4. And I'm telling you, brother, sometimes in this world, things get hectic and things go this way and that way in the hustle and bustle of life, and storms of life come our way, problems, troubles, and trials, and sorrows. But there ain't never one time God's had to say, hang on a minute, let me see where all my youngins are. Where's my stars at? 1, 2, 3. He knows them all by number. He's got them all graven on his heart. Can I tell you this morning, Miss Star, Mr. Star, he knows your number. He's got your number, friend. He knows who you are. He knows our number. He knows our frame. I'm counted in amongst them this morning. I'm a star. I'm a star. Say, you don't look like one. I'm a star, friend. I'm a star. We see the numbering of the stars. I like what the Bible said over in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 40. Over in verse number 26, he gets to talking about his people. And he said he numbers them. He knows them by name, just like he's talking about the stars here. And at the end of the verse, Isaiah 40, 26, he says, not one of them faileth. It's not because they don't want to fail. It's not because in their flesh they don't fail. But he ain't going to let them fail. You see, one of these days, when heaven's record shop comes time to account for all the jewels, and see, that's what you are this morning. You're one of his jewels. You're just a jewel him hewed out of the rough of the dirt of this world and made something beautiful for him. When it comes time on that great reckoning day to find all the jewels, he knows right where you are. Say, well, I sure have messed up. I sure have fouled up. He don't want nothing to do with me. Not one of them faileth. He knows all the numbers of them. I got to hurry up and finish up here this morning. I'm a star. I see the nativity of the stars. I see the numbering of the stars. Can I say this? I see the naming of the stars. He says in our text, he telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. He doesn't just say star one, star two, star three. But he's got names assigned to each and every one of them. Not only does he know how many he's got, but he knows all their names. Dear God, where you at, brother? There you are. He was showing us a newspaper clipping at breakfast yesterday morning about this lady who lived to be 116 years old and had 270-something descendants. My soul. They come around great-great-great-great-great-grandma at Christmas time. They say, hey, grandma. She say, who are you, kid? Ain't got a clue who they are. You can't keep up with 270-something descendants. But I've got a God who said he knows all their names. See, long before I ever knew who he was, he knew who I was. Before I ever called on his name, he was already calling on my name. I read a story several months ago about a Vietnam fighter ace. I don't remember what his name was. Slipped my mind. That Vietnam fighter ace, he got shot down. He spent several years in a POW camp in Vietnam. You read stories about that. You know how hard that was on those men. And when he finally got back home and he got released, he was out eating with his wife one day, several years after he had been released. And he was eating out at a restaurant. And as he was sitting there, a man walked up to him. He'd never seen him before. And he called him by his name. He said, hey, how are you doing? And he talked to him for a minute, tried to be cordial, and he said, do I know you? He said, no, I don't think you do. He said, but I know who you are. He said, how's that? You must have heard about me from what happened in Vietnam. He said, no, that's not how I know you. He said, see the parachute that saved your life when you jumped out of that airplane that day in Vietnam? I'm the one who packed it for you. See, it was my job to pack your parachute before every mission you went out on. That was my job. And even though you didn't know it, I was packing your parachute before you went out on every mission. And I knew your name. The only reason why you're here today is because I was looking out for you when you didn't even know who I was. Hallelujah this morning. Can I say, when we were living in sin, when we were unworthy and filthy, and we was going our own way, living for ourselves, there was a God in the glory world before we were ever stars. He was looking out for us. He was already mapping out the way for us to come to know him as our personal Savior. And he knew our name. this morning, I read over in the book of John, chapter number 20. Mary comes to the tomb. She is depressed. She is discouraged. She's downtrodden. She's coming looking for a dead Savior. He's been dead 3 days. Here she shows up. She's going to anoint his body. She is so depressed. She could not have imagined that life could take such a horrible twist that life has taken. I mean, just 4 days before, he was the Messiah, the Christ of God, the one that would redeem Israel and set his kingdom up, and they trusted in him and believed in him. And now their hopes and dreams were shattered, and here he lays in a tomb. And she shows up looking for him, and the stone is rolled away and the rock's gone. I said the stone was rolled away and the rock was gone. She gets to looking for him, and somebody shows up, and she thinks him to be the gardener. She said, "Sir, if you've borne him hence, tell me where you put him at." And Jesus says, "Mary." She didn't know who he was. He knew who she was. She weren't looking for him. She thought he's dead. But he was looking for her. Can I say this morning, you may be sitting here saying of God, you're one of them precious stars that he knows. You've never dreamed life could take such a horrible turn it's taken. You never dreamed life could take such a bad turn, such a detour. You never dreamed you could be in such a spot, so discouraged, so depressed, so heartbroken, so broken in spirit and broken in mind. But yet, dear friend, I'm telling you, there is a God in glory. Even though you are depressed, shaken, brother, to your very core, he knows your name. He knows your name this morning. He ain't forgot who you are. I'm glad the Bible says this. We can come under the throne of grace boldly, find grace to help in time of need. And the verse before that, this is what he says. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You see, when it says he named the stars, when it comes to thinking about him knowing us by name as the people of God, that tells me he's a personal God. He's not just some God that sits on the backside of the universe somewhere unaware of what goes on in your life. But the Bible says this, he is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. When you get on your knees before God and the tears roll down, you can't stop them, and heart tears flow off your face on the ground. Your heart's broken and you hurt in your body, or you hurt for somebody else. Can I tell you, there's a God in heaven. He feels what you feel. He reaches down, he touches the hurt that you have, and he is touched with the feeling and the emotion of your infirmity. Oh, what a God this morning. What a God. The next verse after our text said, he is infinite. I'd say he is this morning. That he's got millions of children. Children that have died and gone to glory. And children now that live on all the continents, over all the world, here, there, and yonder. I'll never know them this side of glory. I'll never meet them this side of glory. I'll never know their names. I'll never know all your names. But every time, each and every one of us, if today we all had some heartbreaking, heart-wrenching tragedy, we can all at one time bombard the throne of grace and lay our problem and our feeling on him. And he's infinite enough and big enough and sovereign enough and God enough to bear our burden at one time. I'm glad I'm a star this morning. I'm a star this morning. Yeah, you're looking at a star, dear friend. I got some star friends in here this morning. I wonder if you're a star. I wonder if you've ever had a birth to be a star. I wonder if you're just still wandering around in this world in the darkness. Wandering around in the dark, trying to find out your way, searching your way out. You ain't gonna find it by yourself. You're gonna have to get some light from some other source to kindle you and light you up. You see, David said this in the book of Psalms, "The Lord will light my candle." Can I tell you, he lights my fire this morning. And when I was in darkness, he lit me up. Some of you have been lit up, but you've been lit up in a lot different way than what I'm talking about. I'm talking about getting lit up, brother. getting on fire. Start shining, start staying. See that sovereign hand at work in your life. There's an unseen hand, hallelujah, this morning. And even though the world can't see what's going on, deep down in my soul, I know what I am. I know whose I am. I know what it was. I don't revel in all that. I know what I am, what I'm going to be. This morning I am a star. Wonder if you're a star this morning. Maybe there's some of God's stars in this building this morning that your light's grown a little bit dim. Maybe you're just a little bit brokenhearted. Maybe you needed to be reminded this morning there's a God in heaven that numbers the stars. He knows who you are, and He knows your name too. He hasn't forgot about you. Oh my, when Job was in his terrible trial, and I'm closing, when Job was in his terrible trials of affliction and he felt like God had walked off and left him and totally forsaken him and forgotten about him, God shows up in chapter number 37 or 38 it is, and He calls him by name. Job, I've not left you, boy, and I've not forgot about you. And even though you haven't been able to see all that's going on, just hang in there, Job. I'm working it all out for my purpose and my glory. Yeah.